Let's begin our worship this morning by singing together, lifting up our voices to God in praise and honor. Turn into the back of your bulletin, and we have printed there the words for His Name is Wonderful, a chorus that many of us grew up with. We don't even need the words to sing this one, so join in. His Name is Wonderful. And let's continue, and let's stand up for this one, number 644, if you're able. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to worship you today. We come to sing, to pray, and to listen. You always hear us, and now help us to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. Again, let's do that again. Good morning. That's better. It's such a sunshiny day. It feels like, yeah, a good day to be here praising God together. We welcome everyone that's here today. We have some visitors and some regular attendees, and we just are very happy to have all of you here. So greet one another in Christian love. You may be seated, and we're going to ask the children to come forward. Charlene has a story for you today.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you. So this week, we celebrated Valentine's Day. Yeah. You probably saw lots of red or purple and pink. I'm wearing pink today. And you saw lots of hearts, right? And you gave Valentines and hearts to people. This one somebody gave me after they made it in Sunday school last year. And there's even heart candy on it. I haven't eaten it all yet. Okay. So why do we celebrate Valentine's Day? And what do we tell people on Valentine's Day? Yes.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And what do you tell your mom, maybe?
I love you.
I love you. Yes. It's a way we show and tell people we love them, we like them, we're thinking of them. Well, there's lots of verses in the Bible that tell us that God loves us. One of the first verses we learn is probably 1 John 4:8, where it says, God is love. And again, in verse 16, it says, God is love. And then in 1 John 3:1, it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. Well, that's a different word, isn't it? See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Yeah, I wonder what that word lavished means, huh? That's kind of different, isn't it? One we don't use a lot. The word lavish means super generous. Super generous. It means to give to overflowing abundantly. So I'm going to show you what lavish means. Okay, so here I have a plate. And after school, you're probably starving hungry right after school, right? And you need a snack? Yeah. Oh, yes. What do you like to eat for snacks after school? Pizza. What? Is it pizza all the time? Yeah. What do you like to eat for a snack?
We have pizza on Wednesday.
Wednesday's pizza day. Everybody loves pizza. Yeah. Well, I think this day everybody likes Doritos?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're really starving hungry after school, aren't we? And we're going to have Doritos. So you come to my house, I'll give you some Dorito. That's not going to do it for you? One Dorito? I'll eat one too, but a Dorito? No. You need more than that, right?
Yeah,
lots? Is that maybe enough then?
Yummy.
You'd even want more? Yes?
That
no, but I'll have Doritos for you when you go home.
Okay.
Maybe that's enough, huh? Mm-hmm. And do you think this is maybe as much love as God gives us?
Yeah.
He doesn't just give us one Dorito, does he? He gives us more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But if he lavished us with love,
we could have the whole bag.
You know, I think we could. You think God gives us that much Doritos? That much love? How much love does God give us? The whole bag full? Then it says he lavished his love on us. He emptied the bag. He gave us all his love. So does God just love us when we're having a good day?
Yeah.
He loves us when we're having a bad day?
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves us when we're sad. He loves us when we're happy. Does he just love us when we're at church?
Yeah.
No. He loves us when we're at home. He loves us when we go to school. He loves us everywhere. Yeah, he loves us everywhere and every time. If we're happy or if we're sad. And he gives us all the love we need, right? Whoop, we missed one. Okay, now it's empty. So that's what I want you to remember. That. That oh, there's one in there, yeah. That the Father has lavished us with love that we can be called his children. Okay, let's say a prayer together, okay? You can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you that you are not stingy with your love. Thank you that you lavish your love on us. Till it overflows from our life into the lives of others. Amen. Okay. Have a good week. We'll have some when you go home.
Thank you, Charlene, for an amazing visual that I wish you could have all seen this up here, but we've got a tray full of Doritos. It's awesome. Okay, we'll ask the ushers to come forward for our to take our offering for today. Let's pray. Faithful Father, thank you that you give the gift of abundant life, abundant eternal life. Your generosity overflows to us, and everything we have is a gift from you. As we bring our offerings to you, we give back to you the abundant blessings you have given to us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we come to sharing time. Praises, prayer requests, announcements, joy reports. What's on your heart? Paul?
I'd like to share today some about love. Friday was Valentine's Day, and it's all a day about love. I'm going to read some of my some favorite Bible verses that kind of mean some through the years, and sometimes they're kind of hard to follow. First one will be from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is a great and the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. John 15:12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Thank you, Paul.
Next week, we have a moment in mission, and Salem Home will be here to present their ministry to us. It'll be during the worship service. My apologies for not getting that in this week's bulletin.
Brigetta. I just want you to notice that Deb and Daryl Doctor are here today. They used to attend our church regularly, and we miss them, and it's great to see them.
I think we all say an amen to that. Great to see you.
This is Charlene, and I invite you, anyone and everyone, to a short half-hour prayer meeting that we will have here in the sanctuary this next Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. The focus of this meeting is to pray together for our search for a pastor and the work of the group studying and going over the Huddletal Constitution and bylaws. It is appropriate at this time of change ahead of us that we seek God's wisdom and guidance as we go forward. If you are unable to come at this time, we request your join us in prayer wherever you are.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. And before we pray, I'm going to say one more thing here. Over the years, we have oftentimes prayed the Lord's Prayer. Many times, sometimes every Sunday. And so today, after the congregational prayer, I would ask you to stay in the prayer mode, and we will hear the prayer in song. Thank you, God, for the joy of today. It's still morning, and yet so many good things have come our way. The joy of shelter, the joy of clean water coming from the taps, the joy of food on the table. Thank you for friends who understand us and the joy of meeting new friends. Thank you that we are here in church, body and spirit, and for the joy of worshiping you, our Creator. And in the midst of all these joys, in all honesty, we admit that we come with fears. Some of us have fears about new beginnings, whether that's a new relationship or new committee work in church. We don't know how we'll do or how we'll feel. We're nervous and we want things to go well. There are fears about health aches and pains that won't go away, symptoms that are unexplained, treatments that we hope will be effective. Some of us have financial fears. Is our work secure? What will the farming season be like this year? How will we pay these bills? Have we saved enough for the future? And then there's the fear of loneliness. That strikes all of us at times. We fear that we won't find people to love or that we'll lose the people that we do love. God of hope, thank you that you are with us in our fears, that you bring joy even in the midst of them. And thank you for your faithfulness through time, for the ways you have been there for us in the past, and that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray today for Huddertal, and that you will be with the various new committees as they work towards searching for a pastor and updating policies. We pray that you would prepare the heart of someone to come and walk alongside of us and serve as our pastor. And we pray for this prayer meeting that's going to take place this Wednesday. Open our hearts to listen and to lean on you as these days, as we work toward seeking a pastor. Help us this week to have compassion for those who fear, for those who are fleeing bombs and bullets, for those who face governments that are oppressive, for those who cannot worship openly but must meet secretly. And in our own community, there are people who live with the fear of violence. Help us to be a refuge to them, to be people who offer help and support, and who go the extra mile when we see people in need. Help us speak out when we see injustice or hear words that divide rather than unite. And forgive us for the times we have been too wrapped up in our own fears and joys to truly see our neighbor. Help us this week to embrace joyful living, being mindful of the gift of each day, remembering our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives in us and through us. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Amen. Please stand and turn in your sing the journey book to number 53. Number 53.
Thank you. You may be seated. The scripture today is from 1 Thessalonians 5. That's page 624 in your pew Bible. We'll be reading verse 17. I'm going to recite it in the King James Version because in 1962, when I memorized this verse, that's what our Bible was. I admit that I've practiced it this week. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I am excited this morning. I decided to preach on prayer a week and a half ago. It was a sermon I had delivered at another church. And then I found out that three Sundays in a row we were going to talk about prayer in Sunday school, and I thought, maybe that wasn't the right thing. Early in the week, I thought it would be a good idea if we prayed the Lord's Prayer after the congregational prayer this so that it would fit in. But I didn't say anything, so the Lord went over and told Edie that we needed to do that. In my notes, there's the suggestion that we will pray together as a congregation, and the Lord told the deacons to do that. God is alive at Hood or Tall Mennonite Church, and I am excited. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pray without ceasing. That means pray without stopping. Or in other words, never stop praying. Lord, is that even possible? I mean, we have lives down here. There are little children running around. There's laundry to do. There's cattle or hogs to feed. Soon we'll have to plant. And there are forms to file, orders to fill, lesson plans. I mean, somebody teaches Sunday school. We got to prepare those. Emails and texts. And we're 2 days behind on Facebook. How do we pray without stopping? When we think about prayer, Christians usually agree on several points. One is that prayer is very important. Two, that prayer is powerful. We've all heard stories of miraculous healings or miraculous answers to prayer. And we agree that we probably should pray more often. In fact, I think we have something of a guilt complex when it comes to prayer. We keep hearing these stories of these champions of the faith who prayed for an hour or two a day, and we wonder, how in the world could we ever do that? I remember an evangelist I got to tell you, those Doritos are tempting. Except I couldn't preach and eat at the same time. I remember an evangelist telling the story of how he decided that it would be a good idea for his ministry if he would pray an hour a day. And so one day he gathered his notes and got on his knees and he prayed for everything on his notes and then everything he could think of, everyone he could think of. And he got up and looked at the clock and it had been like 7 minutes. I'm probably not going to tell you anything today that you haven't already heard about prayer. In fact, some of these ideas I've shared in our Sunday school class, but I include them because not everybody attends our Sunday school class. In education, we have a word for that. We call it review. And it's important that we constantly be reminded of the great truths of the faith. But prayer does have its fundamentals. There are certain fundamental things that are part of prayer. The first is, prayer is conversation. You see, we tend to learn to pray by listening to public prayers or by learning to recite prayers that we've been taught. Both are good. However, when we talk to God, we should do so as friend to friend. Prayer is a conversation. It is known we don't have to talk to God in the King James Version. He understands plain English. The only time we say thee or thine anymore is in the Lord's Prayer. Private prayer is not formal. It is relaxed and conversational. But as a conversation, it's a dialogue. It's a two-way street. Take time to listen. One of the things that I was once told was keep a Bible handy. It is interesting how many times the Lord will put a Bible verse in your head as you pray. And, oh, yeah. The second point is recognition. Hebrews 6:11 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There are two ideas here. One, that God is who he says he is. He is the loving creator God, Father, Son, and Spirit of the Bible. The second is that God cares, that he rewards those who seek him. He helps us in prayer. So, recognition. Recognize who you are talking to. We do that in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. You are talking with the all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving, all-merciful, sovereign God of the universe. Now, what that means is there's no secret formula for getting what you want. You cannot manipulate God. There is no ask and send money as a down payment. There is no bargaining. If you do this, Lord, I will do this. Recognition means, as we pray, God is sovereign. It is his wisdom we are seeking, not ours. You see, I want God to sort through my requests and apply his foreknowledge and his wisdom to them so that I get what is God's best. That is a privilege of prayer, access to the mind of the all-knowing God. When we stand in God's presence, we tend to align ourselves with God and his perfect plan for us. As it says in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A third fundamental is praise. As we stand in God's presence, we cannot help but remember all of the things he has done for us in the past. The Psalms repeatedly rehearse the deeds of God and how he had stepped up and protected his people. Praise then flows naturally as we remember who he is and what he has done. Holy is thy name, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Praise is thanksgiving and adoration. There's a difference. And most married people would know the difference if they thought about it. When he praises you for your cooking or appreciates the fact you ran errands for him, That is thanksgiving. When he admires how caring you are and how thoughtful you are, that is adoration. I would hope that on Valentine's Day some adoration was passed. God deserves both. A fourth fundamental is we have to ask. That's what the Bible says. James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. The Lord's Prayer contains three requests. Give us today our daily bread. That's basic needs. Forgiveness, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And third, protection from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But why do we have to ask? Because the verse before the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:8, the very first before Jesus starts to teach him to pray, says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So why do I have to ask? Have you ever played that game? Have you ever told your spouse or a friend your frustration and your problems, hoping that they would volunteer to help you out without you having to ask them? It's called passive-aggressive hinting. Asking requires us to recognize our dependence on the person we ask. Requires us to recognize our dependence on God. Asking also helps us sort out our requests and examine them. Sometimes when we sort out what it is we're really asking for, it doesn't sound as noble or as important as it did when we first started. Ask and listen. Take time to listen. Those people who prayed for an hour didn't talk the whole time. Prayer is not a monologue. Sometimes when I make my request, I can almost hear God in the back of my head saying, oh, you know better than that, don't you? Sometimes God will say, let's work on that together. Sometimes God will bring up a better idea. Now, when we ask, we should be aware of the fact that God is sovereign. James also said, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. God, we give our requests to God so that he can sort them. God will not use his power to help you destroy yourself. God will not use his power to make you lazy. Ask and be specific, not bless my child. What is it that you want God to do for that child? And I bet if you thought about it, that would take more than a minute and a half. It would take a while. If you want healing, say so. If you want God to do something miraculous, ask. He's sovereign. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask the seemingly impossible, but be specific. What is it you want God to do? Not bless Uncle Harry in the hospital, heal Uncle Harry's leg, and restore him to strength. Ask believing. Whatever things Jesus said, whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Now, this does not mean that if we have enough belief, God will have us win the lottery. Because, again, we're asking God to be in charge. But it does mean that if we ask believing in God's wisdom, that he can provide for our financial need in whatever way he chooses. It is interesting, however, once in a while God does surprise you and give you the extravagant desires of your heart. I have a nice tricycle at home as evidence of that prayer. Tell God your true desires. At this point, one of my students would raise their hand and say, but what if I'm praying against God's will? Let's follow the example of Jesus. On the night before Jesus died for your sins so that you could have relationship with God, on that night, Jesus said, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. On the night before he died for you, he asked God to let him out of the deal. But the next sentence, "But not my will, but yours be done." If you pray, recognizing that you desire God's will, you can ask for anything, and God will align, will let you know what His will is. Express your desires, but affirm your desire for God's perfect solution. The Bible even teaches us to ask persistently. Jesus told a parable in Luke 18, and the reason He told the parable, according to Luke, was that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. It was the story of a persistent widow who kept bothering a rather wicked judge until he gave her justice. Now, we don't do this because God needs to be persuaded. God forbid that He be persuaded by my silly request if it's going to hurt me. No, persistence is a measure of your commitment. How committed are you to the idea that you are proposing? But one of the things we have to also remember is that we are to ask for spiritual needs. In fact, the most important part of our prayer is probably the spiritual end. Remember that two out of the three requests in the Lord's Prayer are for spiritual matters. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer is your best weapon against temptation. Jesus, on the night of His arrest, said to His disciples, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." They did not, and were scattered. The Bible says, "With every temptation, God will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Prayer may be that way out. So in a difficult situation, when you feel your anger or frustration start to rise, ask God for grace and patience. Ask for spiritual boldness when you need it. Ask for goodness and kindness when that is needed in the face of persecution. He also instructed us to ask for forgiveness, honestly examining ourselves and acknowledging our sins. But just as He says, "Forgive us our sins," He also instructs us to forgive others. In Mark 11, Jesus said, "Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses." Part of the self-examination is admitting our failures, but also our grudges. What do we have against someone else? Prayer is the first step toward forgiving someone. Jesus said it's important enough to stop your prayer and forgive. In the Sermon on the Mount, He says, if you bring your gift to the altar, which they had to do in that day, and you remember that you have something against someone, or someone has something against you, it's important enough that you leave your gift, go, take care of that, and come back. Prayer is the first step to forgiving. Ask God for a forgiving spirit. That's a prayer He loves to answer. But there's a lot of emphasis on asking. I'd like to suggest that beyond asking, real prayer comes when you bare your soul to God. When you tell Him your frustrations and your joys, when you tell Him when you're angry. You can tell God you're angry. You can even tell God you're angry with Him. Tell Him when you're sad. Tell Him when you're overwhelmed. Tell Him how proud you are of your children. Tell Him how glad you are that Maria sang the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. I hope you didn't hurt yourself on that high note. Tell Him how worried you are about your grandchildren's future. I mean, in this world, my goodness, what will they face? God knows all that stuff is in there. Can you admit it to God? Can you admit to God when you are mad as anything? Can you admit to God that you are overwhelmed? Why do we pretend with God? All-knowing, omnipotent God. Look at David's Psalms, and you can see that you can be bluntly honest with God. He continually beat on God's chest, saying, "How long, O Lord, will you ignore me?" Cry to God when life is difficult. Rejoice with God when life is good. You know, when all the equipment is working and the bills are paid. Include God in your celebration. Pray for others. It's called intercession. Paul said to Timothy, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. James is more blunt. Pray for one another. The Bible instructs us clearly to pray for the sick. That's in James. To pray for those in authority, the leaders, whether it's on the church level, on the state level, on the national level. That's in 1 Timothy. Pray for those who persecute us. Ooh, that's Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. We're supposed to pray for those who get under our skin. Pray for those who seem to have it out for us. Not pray that God will get even with them, but pray that God will help them. We're instructed to pray for laborers in God's harvest. That's also Jesus' words in Matthew. James assures us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So I ask you today, for whom are you praying today? Prayer can be the bond that binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Prayer support should be one of the great privileges of church attendance and church membership. We need to be faithful, however. There is a danger here. We need to be faithful and discreet in how we handle prayer requests. Unless you have permission to do so, never share a prayer request with another person. Sad to say, but one of the leading sources of gossip is one person telling another person about somebody's need, you know, so you can pray too. Have you ever promised to pray for someone and failed to do so? Santa Claus is not the only one who should make a list and check it twice. Pray together. Jesus said, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree on about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So pray as families. Pray as couples. Pray as churches. Pray in church, pray as small groups, small enough to maintain confidentiality so people can share boldly. Pray in large meetings, as we've discussed. This congregation should pray for our current ministries. Look at the yearbook and see what the congregational ministries are and pray for each of those ministries. Pray for our future, as we did this morning and as we're planning to do on Wednesday for our next pastor. Now, I've told this story, I don't know, maybe more than once in my Sunday school class, but not all of you attend that class, so I'm going to tell it again. It comes from the book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala, who is pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. That congregation has an interesting history. In 1880, that's 140 years ago, that congregation built a church in Brooklyn, New York, that would seat 6,000 people. That's how big it was. In 1971, when Mr. Cimbala took over as pastor of the church, average attendance was at about 30. 30 people. And this church was situated in one of the roughest parts of town. There was drug deals and prostitution deals going on the sidewalk in front of the church. Once in a while, a drunk would stagger in and sit in the back just to get warm. It was not a pleasant place. But they committed themselves to prayer. And they installed a prayer room and had somebody in the prayer room during every worship service, praying for the leadership, praying for the persons present, praying for the people outside. Eventually, that became a 24-hour prayer. Now, we'd have trouble manning that with our group. But 24 hours a day, somebody would be in that prayer room praying for the congregation, for the people outside, for their mission in the world. When Jim wrote the book, and I forgot to look up what the date was, but it'd be around the year 1995 or 2000, they were holding three services every Sunday, with a total attendance of 10,000. Because prayer changes things. And you may have heard of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It's world famous. I've seen a similar example. Shortly after we moved from Michigan to South Dakota, the church we attended broke, split in the middle. Well, not quite in the middle, but a group of about 35, 40 people went and formed a new congregation, meeting in the sanctuary of a Seventh-day Adventist church. They don't use it on Sunday, so they were able to use it. We attended that meeting. We attended that congregation a couple of times when we visited, just because we have several friends that are in leadership in that group. I attended that church, and they were about 35 people. I attended that church a year ago, the first Sunday of 2019, and the worship service included about 400 people. Their average worship attendance is now 400 people. They also have a prayer room where one of my good buddies excused himself when I was talking to him out in the lobby because he had to go to the prayer room to sit and pray during the service. During the worship music, they had people coming down to the front so that the elders could pray with them. And they were not, no announcement was even made. The people just came and the elders prayed with them. I believe prayer changes things. Prayer binds us together. Prayer releases the power of God on our behalf. What is the biggest difficulty we have with prayer? It's time. Time, one of our most valuable possessions, is time. We get busy. We have busy lives, as I said at the beginning. And prayer does demand a time commitment. For me, it meant a change of my morning routine. I actually have to get up earlier. For some of you, it would mean maybe over noon or coffee time. Even, it doesn't have to be done every day, but, you know, a routine. I like short impromptu prayers. I do that all the time. But there is something about sitting with God to pray and listen. By the way, sitting is not always a good idea for people my age. You tend to fall asleep. One of the advantages of kneeling is it's hard to fall asleep when your knees hurt. Pray without ceasing. What does it mean? It means living a life of constant communication with God, a life in which you are aware of God's presence and God's availability at all times. God is always here. Be always available to pray. Turn off the noise of the world and capture brief moments. Perhaps while driving, it's certainly safer than talking on a cell phone. Perhaps while harvesting, doing the dishes, shoveling manure, cleaning. I mean, you can't hear anything over the vacuum sweeper anyway. Just talk to God and listen. Donovan, we can even pray when we're doing planks at the fitness center. I said in the beginning that Christians agree that prayer is extremely important. Do we realize that it is essential? Consider the example of Jesus. Jesus often, according to Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In Mark 1, we're told that after an evening of healing the sick and delivering people from demons, Jesus got up early and went off to pray. In Matthew 14, after miraculously feeding 5,000 people, Jesus sent the disciples away so he could pray. And Luke 6 says that before naming the 12 disciples, Jesus spent the entire night in prayer. I wonder how much of that time was spent discussing Judas Iscariot. If Jesus, Son of God, fully human, required prayer, communicating with the Spirit and the Father in order to confront life and carry out his ministry. If Jesus required prayer, how much more do you and I require prayer to face the frustrations, the temptation, and the stress of our lives and to be faithful in our ministries? With Bible reading and study, prayer is the essential nutrition for our spiritual life. It's not just a vitamin pill we add to our daily routine. Time with God is our spiritual diet, our nourishment. What would happen to your body if for 2 weeks you had no food? That's what happens spiritually when we only nibble at prayer. You cannot maintain a human relationship without regular communication. You cannot maintain a spiritual relationship without spiritual communication. And that's why Paul instructed Timothy, a young leader in the church, to pray without ceasing. If you would take your hymn book, or your Sing the Journey books, turn to page 56 and stand for the sending
Thank you, Dennis, for words that really struck home to all of us. And we invite you to Sunday school, where we continue the discussion on prayer today. Let's pray. Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Turn your face toward us and give us peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.